raindrops on the rooftop. He said, just stop and listen. Constant as the earthquakes, as the day breaks, stop and listen.
Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. I have Bonnie Payne on the phone with me. She's from the band Elephant Revival, and they're going to be touring around Western Colorado starting Thursday, March 2nd. They'll be in Grand Junction, Crested Butte Friday night, Aspen on Saturday night, and then off to Durango for a couple of shows. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today, Bonnie.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So you're the vocalist for the band, and you also play washboards, musical saw, and stomp box, and I think a few other, you know, not very conventional instruments. Do you? How did you choose all these different instruments that you play?
Well, my dad was a big influence with the washboard. I grew up playing drums with my sisters. Three other sisters that also played drums growing up, and he just noticed I was always tapping on things, and the way that I like to use my fingers, you couldn't really do that with holding sticks. And so he had the idea of putting banjo picks on my fingers and trying out a washboard when we were at Winfield Bluegrass Festival one year. And so that kind of stuck. And also at that festival, there's this old man named Joe who showed me how to play the musical saw a little bit. And then a couple of years later, I started a band with my sisters and this guy named James Townsend, and he taught me more about the musical saw and gave me his. And then the stomp box was just kind of a way to have a kick drum effect with the band, kind of get some of the pulls. And the djembe, I guess I got my first djembe when I was in Indonesia, in Bali. And I was just really drawn to the shape of that drum and the range of pitch you could get from the middle to the outside. And then the cello is like a, you know, it's the only conventional instrument I guess I really play, and that's a new addition to the band. And the cello was also just something that I've wanted to play my whole life. And I had a vocal coach that always said, you know, just pretend you're a cello. It's the closest thing to a human voice. And I thought, how fun to like harmonize with a voice, you know, something that was like a voice whenever you wanted. And So that's how that happened.
Yeah, and you have an amazing voice. Like your voice to me is completely unique. And I can't quite figure out what is so different about it. What do people say to you about it?
I've heard that it's, creepy before. I'm not sure how to take that.
Really? Oh, that's not how I hear it, but
no, creepy. Not in a negative way, but somebody said that once to me, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. They said, I mean that as a compliment. I said, oh, okay.
I could see haunting, but I don't see it as creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I got to hang with Daryl Hannah once, and she said, your voice, you're very much, it's very human, but not human. And I almost said, like a mermaid. Because she was a mermaid in Splash.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't ruin that with that comment.
Your new video for Petals just premiered, and you had a big role in creating that video with Laura Goldhamer, who's also the director of Gregory Alan Isakoff's Amsterdam. There's a really cool form of, I guess it's animation that she uses. Can you tell me a little bit about the process of making that video and working with Laura?
Yeah. Oh, man. She's an incredible artist to work with. I was kind of her art assistant for Gregory Allen's Amsterdam video. I made a lot of just the visual art props and stuff. And so we started to get a little bit of a vision of how we worked together there, which was really well. We just flowed really well together. And she's got an amazing sense of imagination, but focus. And so she was able to kind of weave a lot of different ideas together, because we have so many different artists on this. I mean, my cousin is an incredible painter, and I'd seen some stop motion art that she had done a long time ago, and so I wanted to incorporate her, and then Bailey West and Madison, and just, it was incredible. Suddenly I had a house full of all these artists with all different interpretations of the song, and Laura was kind of able to find this unifying thread through it all to make it make more sense. And so we just explored and made art for like a month. I had a bunch of artists living in my garage, and we built this little tiny home. I actually had, when we wrote the storyboard out, I thought we were going to do like a claymation drawing stop animation. I didn't realize there was going to be actual characters in it, and then I realized not only were there going to be actual characters, but I was going to be one of those characters. Mm-hmm. Which I tried to kind of pass that role off to other people, whoever I could, and nobody really wanted to do that. So I was like, okay, all right, I'll do it. We'll see how this goes. And it ended up being really neat. The stop motion, you take like 3 hours to make a few seconds of movement just by moving really slowly, and you say you're bending forward and you lean forward and they take a picture and then you lean forward more and more and more. And it's a lengthy process, but it was beautiful. And everybody was so juiced up on the project. I mean, people were going to bed at 6 and 7 in the morning as the sun was rising. And then I would hear them 2 hours later in my kitchen making coffee and just like ready to go again.
Yeah, it's definitely not. I mean, it's a work of art. It really is. It's not just like, you guys doing some live performance or something. There's definitely some real thought that went into creating this video, and it's beautiful. I love the part where there's a drum circle. It's like a Native American drum circle, and these petals are sort of flying off the drum and into the room. I had to watch that like a few times. I just think it's spectacular. How did they do that with the petals?
Well, Tim, who was incredible, he helped. He's like a CGI master, it turns out. And he kept trying to describe to me the petals and like his vision for that. And I was just afraid it would look kind of like sci-fi cheesy or something. And so I was like, well, just give me an example. And then he had me come over, and he says, this logarithm creates the movement of a Spiral Galaxy that I have here. And he showed me this like graph that spirals out. And he said, what I can do is I can construct these little like rose petals and have them fit them into this pattern so that they will float like a spiral galaxy out of the drum. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And once he showed it to me, I was so beautiful. It ended up being my favorite part. And with the Lakota drummers there, that part just blew my mind. And that was, it's interesting how sometimes the most unplanned parts become the most beautiful. Usually, I feel like, with any kind of art. And those guys, I called Lee Plentywolf. That's the Plentywolf drummers and singers. And I asked if they happened to be available to come drum while we danced around in some ballroom, which was going to be in Denver. And we were trying to write the storyboard. And he said, yeah, I'll happily do that. And so then we started writing the storyboard. And we got up to the part of the ballroom of the scene. And we had all of our team sitting around in my garage. And we were, like, trying to figure it out and crack the code. And then Vince Herman from Leftover Salmon pulls up in my driveway and hops out, which I didn't even know he was in town. He's moved to Oregon a little bit ago. And he says, Bonnie, I'm coming to the Stanley Ballroom. Leftover Salmon's playing in the Stanley Ballroom, and I want you to come sit in, and you should come hang out and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, we're actually trying to figure out this ballroom scene right now. Maybe we should just move it to the Stanley. And he says, yeah, I'll get it all cleared and everything. And then he calls me an hour later, and he's like, it's all clear. You got the ballroom.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was. Beautiful. And that's such an unusual space. Like, it's got all the haunted stories about it that inspired the writing of The Shining. And that's where Stephen King stayed and wrote most of that. So
here's the song Petals from Elephant Revival. That was the song Petals from Elephant Revival. I spoke with Bonnie Payne of the band this week by phone. It's interesting because I feel like the music of Elephant Revival, I mean, there's a lot of sort of breaking of musical patterns and different layers. And, you know, there's some sort of hippie sensibilities in the music, like, you know, there's some folks 1960s with tambourines and a little bit of peace and love happening. But it is dark. Than most of that stuff too. There's definitely like an edge to it, and you know, there is a haunting sound to a lot of it, and especially I feel like on Petals, which is your most recent CD, I feel like Furthest Shore and Raindrops, and yeah, there's a very haunting element to it. Why do you think that has emerged with this band and, you know, with that project too?
Well, there was a kind of a major shift of a few things that definitely transformed some of the tones. And which I think all the tones are there. Hopefully your palette just continues to grow instead of switch to another limited palette. You know, it's always continually expanding. And we'd had a dear friend who was like a band coach kind of person, just kind of like our elder woman, who became a very dear friend of all of ours, a best friend. And she had developed breast cancer and passed away. And I'd asked us to play. I played at her deathbed while she was dying, and then at her funeral. And so that was a pretty profound experience for all of us. I think that definitely influenced a lot of, like, when you say haunted, I'm like, you know, that can mean a lot of things, but it can feel like things are close to the veil or something. Mm. Is kind of how I interpret that word a lot of times. And we definitely got submerged in really wondering where we're all headed and everything, as far as all of us eventually. So that was a big experience. And then actually 2 days after my friend's funeral, I played a birth, which was really neat, mm-hmm. too, kind of bring it full circle. And I got to sing while the baby was being born, and then sing to welcome him once he was born. And that was really profound.
Yeah, because I do feel that it's also very uplifting. When I say dark, I don't mean like depressing. And close to the veil is very good way of describing it. And I think When I Fall is a great example of that, sort of great mix of being lifted up too. And that video is also really beautiful. You have a family, that's featured in that video, and pretty much that's all it is just this family walking through a field. Can you tell me a little bit about that song and that video too?
Yeah. Well, Dango Rose, the bass player, wrote that song, and he, part of his inspiration was also from my friend that passed away for that song too. That was a huge part of how that song came about. And so the video idea became a very different thing from the original inspiration of the song, of course, but it was a topic that he felt passionate about, understandably. And he had had a recording of that song where he's playing mandolin, and it was a lot lighter. It was kind of like a more folky song, kind of. And the producer was kind of like, yeah, I don't think this is really going to make it. And because we let the producer pick the songs out of like 20 or 30, probably 30 songs to be on this album, on Petals. And then we started just jamming it one night while we were doing more pre-production for the album. And we kind of, Dan started singing it, and I was singing a harmony with it. And we just kind of gave it a little more crunch, and I got the cello out and was doing it. Uh-huh. Kind of made it
a
little
more
rock in it. And then as far as the concept of the video, it seemed like a good time to kind of bring some awareness and some reality to the fact that there are people out there in need, and that all of our ancestors were people in need at one point. And refugees has this kind of stigma around it. The word refugees, we automatically think like, you know, there's a whole lot of political stigma and assumption around it that can keep people from really delving into what that really means. And any one of us could be a refugee. I mean, there are floods and there are droughts There are earthquakes. There's all kinds of situations that any one of us could be in where we need help. And you would only hope that that we were a people who were embracing to those in need, you know, to an extent that everybody, you know, still has safety, of course. But yeah, so that's kind of the inspiration for that concept.
Our eyes as the sun goes down.
You mix a little bit of social consciousness into your lyrics and in your music and with what you're doing. What are the issues that you choose to focus on in terms of activism or just bringing awareness around right now? And I also wonder what the challenges are with being a band that does that, because I feel like most of the time it's a really powerful thing when musicians or artists do that. When they have a cause, basically, and they sing about it or express something about it. But sometimes it seems like it, you could also be put in a position where suddenly you're a spokesperson, or maybe the band doesn't all agree on what you want to focus on. I don't know if that's happened to you guys, but I just wonder about that.
We've been fairly fortunate to agree on most things. But how to deliver those things is a recurring, interesting topic, for sure. So I can't really speak for anybody else's way to approach certain topics. But for me, I feel like the heart of all of our struggles and suffering is symptoms of people forgetting what they are a part of, forgetting that they are inextricably a part of this thing that they are affecting. And so what I feel like my work here is to do is to kind of invite people back in, which doesn't mean reprimanding anybody or beating my chest and saying, this is where I stand on this subject, because that would just cause more polarizing, I feel like, of this situation. Like, so there's this kind of dance of, how can we welcome people back in? I think the most detriment that's done to the planet are by those who don't know that they're a part of this and are very alone eventually in that. I mean, we feel very separated, I feel like, at the core. I think it's a sad thing to not recognize that we're expressions of the same thing. And I'm sure it feels very alone. I mean, I know there are times when I forget that, and it feels, that's when I'm the most, you know, saddened, I feel like. And so art has a way to me to bring people back together and to help them remember what they're a part of, because it's obviously been forgotten, or we wouldn't be in a lot of the situations we're in right now.
And if you just tuned in, I am talking to Bonnie Payne of the band Elephant Revival. You can catch them in Grand Junction tonight at the Avalon, and then Crested Butte Friday night, Aspen Saturday night, and then they're off to Durango if you can head over there to see them. And I would love for everyone to go check out the new video that you have for Petals on your website at elephantrevival.com. It's just kind of a masterpiece, in my opinion. So
it's
worth a view for sure. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today, Bonnie.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nice to talk with you, Ali.
Chisel the stone inward, there you go. Pretty soon you learn there's nowhere left to go or turn. The halls and mirrors, the chains and fears and breath to hold. But the crown and queen, well, she's spinning like the world. And she goes on and on and on and on she goes. The tailor of tales, the stories long forgot. Speaking in tongues, and he's rolling in the plot. The wheel, it spins without within a heart of fire. With your breath upon the embers as the flames grow higher. And it goes on and on, and on it goes. Die ever so young, reborn upon the beds of the dying tongue. So many have sworn for all truth to be said. Yeah. Night it falls upon desire, where our forgotten dreams can be seen. And in our eternal flames and fire, our bodies wax and wane. And it goes on and on, and on and on it goes.